إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, people go through what is called a midlife crisis, and this happens for two reasons. One is that when you are young and you have your life goals, most of them are more or less straightforward and clear, which is to get a job, to get a good job, to get, you know, some career progress and so on. So people work for that and they achieve various levels of success. But once they reach a particular level, they would have achieved most of whatever they set out to achieve. Some things they get, some things they don't get. And also, as you grow older, your overall energy also becomes less. And you reach a plateau, you reach a point, and then you are climbing to a point, and then it becomes flat. And then there is a loss of energy, loss of enthusiasm, there's a sense of loss of purpose, we don't know what to do with yourself. Also, most of the material goals of life get achieved if you have been living your life in a reasonably sensible way. Then achieving material goals is not such a big thing. So you will achieve the whatever material goals there were. So then there is a loss of purpose. So that's one midlife crisis or reason for it. Another one is that you set out to achieve goals, and these are good, grand goals, big goals, and you find as you go along that despite your best efforts and so on, you are not able to achieve them, or not able to achieve them entirely as you envisaged or as you thought you would like to achieve them. So these are the two reasons why people usually happens to people in their 40s and maybe later, actually maybe in the 50s or so, but can happen at any time. I've seen people with very fast track careers even in their 30s facing this wall, and they don't know what to do. Whatever they thought they wanted to achieve, they achieved, came very early, and then they are at a loss, now what to do. The issue is therefore what to do with your life, because it's, you feel, various people I've spoken to, one person said, I think my life has come to an end. But you are still living, so how is it at an end? And you can't say, go jump over, you know, off a cliff or something, because life is ended. That we can't do. So what to do with your life? And sometimes it becomes a serious matter, because you know, there is a serious loss of purpose in life. And you know, you are sort of at a completely loose end, you don't know what to do with yourself. Now, the key thing therefore to understand is, what does Islam tell us? Now, Islam tells us to relook and realign the purpose of our lives. And that realignment should be done not only when you are at a midlife crisis, at that time of course, but even otherwise. And that realignment has to be done according to the purpose of life. And that purpose of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, where He said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, we have not created the jinn and the human beings for anything other than our worship. So the purpose of life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a level that He is pleased with us. Because worship is not just worship, it's worship is at some standard. So what is that standard? The standard is the rida of Allah. Now, if you keep that life goal as a purpose, then there is no question of any midlife crisis or any other kind of crisis, because this is a continuous improvement goal. What the Japanese call Kaizen in manufacturing, there is the concept, quality concept of Kaizen. So, Kai is continuous, Zen is good, so continuous improvement. And the principle of Kaizen is that small things add up to a big thing. So small changes add up to a big change. So in this, if you apply the principles of Kaizen to the life goal in Islam, which is the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so you have the goal to say, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with me? And Allah created me for His purpose, for this particular purpose, which is His ibadah. Today, what has happened, somebody was asking me, I just came back from Kuwait last night. One of my friends there, he was asking me, how is it that if you take people like, we all talk about spiritual development and we all talk about these things, and it's not as if we are insincere and liars or cheats or it's not like that. It's just that we talk about this as if these are desires. But if you look at people in the past, our Salaf Salihin, for example, Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi left his home, he settled his wife, his son had died, he had only daughters. He settled his wife and daughters, and he left his home and went out and did not come back for 10 years. And he went out because he said, my heart has become hard. And for the softening of my heart, I need to do something, some other things. And when he left, he was the dean of his area of expertise in the Jamia Nizamia, which was the biggest university in Damascus. So he had a very, very lucrative and senior position, and that was at a very young age. So effectively, he hit a ceiling at that point. He, you know, got his midlife crisis. And even though, so fast-track career, he reached plateau quickly, and then he didn't know what to do. So he said, I have to leave this and I must do something about my heart, which has become very hard. So for the softening of the heart, he left his house and he went and he traveled all over the Muslim world. 2 years he spent in the Jamia, in the main masjid in Damascus, as a janitor, sweeping the masjid and cleaning the masjid. 2 years. And remember, today I am telling you that he left his home for 10 years. And I'm saying that because we have read this in history. But when he left his home, he didn't go out for a 10-year course. He went for the suffering of his heart. It so happened it took 10 years. It could have taken, 25 years. He could have never come back. We don't know. So this friend of mine asked me, he said, how is it that, these people, they are also human. They also had families and so on and so forth. How is it that they were able to do things like this? And they wrote things. If you take Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, the number of books that Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullah alayh wrote, take Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, what all work he did. If you take the Salaf Salihin from the Sahaba down to the Tabi'in and later, each one of them is an amazing story in themselves. But yet they still had the same 24 hours that we had. It's not as if the day was longer or something. And in terms of resources, they always had less than we have, because if you look at all our gadgetry and computers and whatnot, our life is much easier. When somebody like Imam An-Nawawi was writing, he had to write by hand. There was no computers, there was no cut and paste, there was no autocorrect. You wrote correctly. If you had to rewrite something, it meant to throw away that page and you write from scratch all over again. There's no saving here and whatnot. Despite that, the kind of productivity they had is phenomenal. Even to this day, with all the gadgetry that we have, it is probably safe to say that it's impossible to reach the levels of productivity that these people had. So how did they have this? And my conclusion to that, so that's why I said this issue of continuous improvement, issue of Kaizen with applied to life, which is that they focused on the small things. The main goal was there, the biggest goal, which is the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt about that. But how do you get there? It's the lack of focus on granularity which prevents us from achieving the big goal. So we have the big goal and then we are saying, no, I want to do this, I want to do this. But if you say, okay, what is the granularity? What is it that you need to do today in order to reach that goal at whatever time that happens? What is it that I must do now? What is it that I must do today? I think this is the secret of Kaizen. The secret of Kaizen is it makes you and helps you to define that. What is it that I will do today? And that's why they say Kaizen is the result, big goals are the result of small goals. So you make small improvements and continuously you do that until you get a major change which you can see. And that is the thing that these people did. So whether it was Imam Al-Ghazali, Rahmatullah Alayhi, whether it is whoever else, the point is that they were focused on saying, what is my goal? My goal is the Rida of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be pleased with me. And for that, what do I need to do today? And that today was very clear. So for example, if it is a time for Salah, what is it I must do? I must pray. That is the number one point at this. At that point in time, that is the number one priority. I must pray. I must pray in the masjid. If I'm a man, I must pray by jama'ah in a masjid. So on the face of it, it looks like a small goal, right? What is so big, what's so great, especially, you know, in most of our countries, the masajids are so easily accessible and so on. So it looks like a small goal, but you know, I know, is it a small goal or is it a big goal? Because that is the small goal we are not able to do. Now, most of us are not able to go and pray, especially Salatul Fajr, in the masjid. On the face of it, how big is it? What's so difficult about that? You don't have to fight some battle to go there, you're not swimming across a river to go, nothing. But that small goal takes you to the big things. Because the whole point is that if you say that my purpose in my life is the Rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for His worship and Allah said this, and then the time to go for Salatul Fajr to the masjid comes and you can't go. So you failed right there. Then what's the good of talking about how you are going to change this whole world and you will establish Khilafah and the Sharia will be the law of the land. Sharia is not even your law. You want to make Sharia the law of the land? Sharia is not even your personal law. You want to fight a big battle about personal law? What personal law? Personal law begins with Salat. So if you cannot even pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, then what is the good of all this big talk? Hot air doesn't do any good. So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us get real in life. And let us get real in life to understand one reality, which is that one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And at that time, the thing that will be asked, the question that will be asked for us is, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created the jinn and the insan for anything other than our worship. So what did we do? Did we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm only talking about praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid, because then the next step is to say, what is the quality of the Salatul Fajr? How did I pray? Did I have khushu, khudu, concentration, dedication towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where was now all of this is, again, same kaizen, continuous improvement. First, get yourself to the masjid. I mean, all of this khushu and khudu is no good talking about that if you are in your bed. So first, get out of bed, get yourself to the masjid, make wudu properly and come and stand. Then now focus. Okay, and I am here. What is the quality of my salah? What must I do? If I am reciting, what is the quality of my recitation? If I am standing in sujood, in qiyam, in my ruku, in my sujood, and so on and so on. So this continues. And then one salah is over. Now what? Now for Salatul Dhuhr, do the same things. And that is the meaning of Kaizen applied to midlife crisis and applied to the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu created us. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to do that which is pleasing to Him and to make it easy for us and to save us from that which does not please Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.